Cake Adjacent Podcast, a once-a-week update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the soulless suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hello, my long-neglected friends. I am so sorry for such a long silence, but it has been a month. I'm not going to spend my 22-plus minutes telling you my sob story about why I've been so quiet, but suffice it to say I am fighting my way back to you, and I do have a lot to say. First, I want to tell you that I wrote this a week ago, but I've been having trouble with my jaw, so I haven't been able to record it. So stuff's going to be a little off schedule with regards to, like, the food holidays. They won't quite line up with the dates, and I apologize for that. I'm actually contemplating getting Botox shots in my temporomandibular joints, but trying to fight my way around the usual medical gaslighting that surrounds issues like this has been a giant pain in my ass. I'm not sure if you've noticed since you started listening to the podcast, but my voice has changed significantly because of the deterioration of the bone and the cartilage on the right side of my jaw, and it has caused significant hearing loss, breathing problems, as well as enough pain so that I haven't been able to eat solid food in over 2 months, and my voice has changed. So if folks have ever had Botox in that joint, I'd love to hear about it, if it helped or if it made talking worse, because I can't have public speaking for my job and recording for my podcast become harder than it already is. And I'd like to thank everyone who's reached out in the last couple of months with supportive messages surrounding the issues with my mother. This continues to be an ongoing nightmare, to be honest, and I will save the longer saga for another day, but let me just leave you with one piece of advice that I am comforted by in my own life that I live by, and I hope that folks really take it to heart. And that is that you should live your life in such a way that if you become a combative narcissist toward the end of your life, that you'll still have friends and family who will take care of you and who will do that unconditionally. If you spend your life being the worst friend, an unsupportive family member, a person who thinks that tough love is the only love, someone who always has to be right and always has to have the last word, then do not be surprised when no one lines up to love on you with their whole heart when you become difficult to deal with, when you need someone to help you. I very much miss the relationship I had with my mother for most of my adult life, but she was a hard person to like a lot of the time. She never understood why Catherine and I put ourselves out for other people, why we are kind to strangers and friends of friends. She was quite literally confused as to what compelled us to be empathetic. I don't think she understood empathy at all. And why we were always the first ones to show up for other people. Even people we didn't like. Don't be that person, or you'll find yourself with no one to show up for you. Let's start with the fact that yesterday, which wasn't actually yesterday, but was actually earlier in the week, was World Kindness Day. And I'd like to do a shout out to my sister Catherine, who came down from Connecticut to babysit me while Ben was in Hawaii. She reminded me to drink water and maybe eat a little something, and she made cupcakes, and we went to all the grocery stores. She made me tea every morning, and we started watching Suits from the beginning. And while we didn't get to all the organizing that she had hoped that we would do, we did get some great sister time. I will readily admit that I have not been my best self lately, and she was so forgiving. So a big thank you to Catherine for the epic kindness of taking time out of her life and out of her work to make sure that I survived Ben being away. I do not know what would have happened if I had been here all by myself. By the way, I don't usually fall apart when Ben is not around. This was a special case of me being unwell for the last couple months before he left and just not feeling like it was a good idea to be left alone while he was away. Rufus also was a little upset while Ben was gone, and While Catherine and I were at the office and he was in his crate for just 3 hours, he chewed on his tail enough to trigger a trip to doggy urgent care. He looks fine. He's doing fine, but his tail looks terrible. It had to be shaved. So his beautiful golden retriever tail is now looks like a possum tail with a floof at the end of it, which is kind of unfortunate. The murder kittens continue to be awful and stalk not only Laddie Marmalade and Blueberry, but also have now started shit with Big Sugar and Clown Shoes. So it breaks my heart to say, but if you know anyone who would love two beautiful, chunky, small polydactyl tabby sister cats who are 5 years old, who love, love, love people and love, love, love dogs, but absolutely do not love other cats, please let me know, because they are not coming around to the younger cats, and now they are starting to beef with the older cats, and I think that they might be happier in a home with fewer cats, meaning just them. And you have to know how hard it is for me to admit that. So Ben went to Hawaii and came back without incident or COVID, bringing back some of those good Honolulu Cookie Company shortbread cookies. And I hope to go with him next year. There's also a San Diego trip in February. And so if I have any Southern California friends on the pod who would like to go to the zoo with me every day or the dog beach at Coronado, please let me know. Let's set up a date. In other news, the Thanksgiving inflatables are up, but I'm kind of ho-hum about them. Two cornucopias and a turkey, and every single one of them is orange. I think I should put up some Christmas inflatables. Maybe just two for now, but not sure which two. The Christmas snail, the baby reindeer that clearly licked a whole sheet of acid tabs, the Santa tripping under a giant mushroom, the dinosaur being inappropriate with a penguin, or the candle with holly berries that look like, well, I think you know where I'm going here. Feel free to ping me with your thoughts. And while I was writing this, one of my favorite wished for inflatables that is the equivalent of out of print showed up at my door from everyone's favorite best-selling author, Jen Golbeck. It is the inflatable Christmas lobster. So that will be the first one out. Okay, rant time. It is 5 days before Thanksgiving and we still do not have a location. This is part of a long, ridiculous chain of events that started last year at Christmas, which I'm sure you will all remember by reluctance to change the years-long holiday sharing that we have been following for the past almost 20 years. You all know that I don't love change. Not really. It makes me anxious. I am an adult child of alcoholics. I have had a chaotic and sometimes violent childhood. I don't like it when things change. I like to have things I can rely on when I don't know what the plan is, because when I was little and things changed, bad stuff happened. So for the past few months, there's been this ongoing discussion about a Thanksgiving trip into a cabin in the woods somewhere, which has been giving me huge anxiety. What will I do with the dogs? Where will we all sleep? How will we make Thanksgiving dinner in a strange kitchen? Do we have to bring all the groceries and the pots and the pans and the utensils? Should I make a reservation at a restaurant somewhere near where we're staying? Where are we staying? And now here it is, less than a week before Thanksgiving and 4 days before we're supposed to be somewhere for 5 days, and we have no idea where we're supposed to be. And so I'm not going. I'm reclaiming my time. I literally spent the last 2 months fretting about this, among other things, to the point where I haven't been eating or sleeping. And yes, that is a me problem. But I have one dog that's so afraid of change that when Catherine was here, he wouldn't come downstairs without me either carrying him past her on the sofa or putting him on a leash. I'm not sure he even pooped the entire time she was here. And another dog who's so out of control that I am covered with bruises, and the dermatologist thought I was being abused at home. I can't just leave the dogs with someone to take care of, especially with 4 days' notice. I've been a solid citizen for the family, spending all of the holidays with them and then seeing my own family after the holidays, but the last couple years have really tested my ability to be flexible. The stress of requirement of being someplace has taken the joy out of the holidays for me. I haven't baked a Christmas cookie or decorated a tree in almost 3 years. And yeah, I could just stay home alone. I did that for the first year. I had cancer right in the middle of COVID. And you know what? It wasn't that much fun. And as a grown-ass adult, I believe I deserve to have my own holiday plans now and then with my own little family of my husband and my dogs and my cats and my friends and my neighbors. But here's the thing. None of us are getting any younger. We can't go back in time. We can't get back time. We have to weigh the time we need for ourselves with the time we offer to others and find some kind of middle ground. And when I say middle ground, I mean like the actual middle, not starting from the middle and being pulled to other people's side. It's easier said than done, but what's the point of having suffered through Trump and COVID and the death of dear friends and family and pets and cancer if we're going to be mad and resentful and unhappy and incapable of enjoying anything? Why did any of us suffer through any of that for this? Anyway, suffice it to say, I've got some stuff going on. I'm going through some stuff. I don't feel like my best self, not physically or emotionally, and I somehow have to get my best self back. Mary Oliver asks, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And right now, it feels like I am just handing it over to other people. People who don't believe it is wild or precious. People who don't cherish it. And that has to change. And if you're feeling like this, let's change together. Because we're worth it. Okay, why don't we get to some food holidays? Because we're totally getting into the holiday season where food's pretty important. Today, spoiler, it's not today, is Tuesday, November 14th, and it's publishing day for our bestie Jen Goldbeck's book, The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection. I hope that if you don't have a copy yet, you will push pause, no pun intended, and order one right now. We'll wait. It's also National Guacamole Day and National Pickle Day. Now, I like avocado, but I really don't like it all tarted up into guacamole. But my friend Dan used to make this guac that was so good with chunks of avocado and mango and sweet pepper. And it was chunky. It wasn't squishy. And it's been so long since I had it. And when I left Providence, he and his family just, I don't know, they like shunned me, I guess. So I can't get the recipe. Sometimes people just ghost you and you never really find out why. And this makes me sad. A few people who I truly thought were my besties of all time just totally dumped me when I got sick, and I didn't even ask anything of them. So it's just so baffling to me to abandon people in your life when they could just use a little support without any explanation. But anyway, it's also pickle day, and I love those little sweet baby gherkins. And I also like dill pickles, like the kind you get from the deli with sandwiches. I've been putting pickle relish in egg salad lately since all I eat is soft food. And it's like eating a deconstructed deviled eggs, and I'm loving it because you know how much I love deviled eggs. What I don't like are those little flat pickles that are on hamburgers. Usually Ben and I will make pickles and relish, but pickles fell by the wayside with strawberry jam and peach preserves and applesauce and black raspberry whatever. Tick-tock, time keeps passing, but stuff isn't getting done. It's also Teddy Bear Day, and there's this great podcast episode in the Anthropocene Reviewed, which is John Green's old podcast about the invention of teddy bears, and I recommend you all listen to it because it's enlightening. One thing you may not know about me, but since you had to listen to my sad sack rant, I will share. I love stuffed animals. I have a few on my bed at all time. Two of them are well over 30 years old. One is a stuffed orange kitty with long arms and legs, and the other is a plaid flannel teddy bear that came from Eddie Bauer. Both have crossed the country several times, and the orange cat has traveled to several countries. The orange cat, named Scratch, and that's the name he came with when I saw him at a fudge shop in Manchester, Vermont, gets tucked in with me every night. So yes, I am a grown-ass woman who sleeps with a stuffed cat. Moving on. Wednesday, November 15th, is Raisin Bran Cereal Day, and I'm actually a big fan of Raisin Bran cereal. I like Raisin Bran Crunch, but in general, I am a fan of Raisin Bran. I am stuck wondering, though, why there was never a Frosted Flake Raisin Bran mashup. It's also National Bundt Day, as in Bundt Cake. Now, I know that you know that I am a big fan of small businesses, which are few and far between here, especially for bakeries. But oh my God, I love those Nothing Bundt cake franchises, which are popping up all over the place. I love the little tiny Bundt cakes, and the lemon one is my favorite flavor. Bundt is also a really nice shape for some cakes. When I make my Auntie Ethel's coffee cake, I use a Bundt cake pan in its perfect size. I don't recommend it for every kind of cake, but it is the right pan for a coffee cake or a quick bread recipe. It would probably be perfect for my banana bread. Growing up, the Bundt cake pan was pretty much the only cake pan we had, so we used it for all the cakes, including that weird pistachio one made with yellow cake mix, seltzer, and pudding mix. Man, that is a deliciously weird green cake that oddly tastes like almonds and not like pistachios at all. Wednesday is also America Recycles Day, and I'm here to tell you that recycling is the last step in the life cycle of consumer products, especially single-use plastics, right after rethinking, refuse, reduce, reuse, repair, and repurpose. Rot is also in there, but that's for foodstuffs, not for single-use plastics. Don't put them in your compost. Okay, Thursday, November 16th, 1 week to Thanksgiving, is National Fast Food Day. And you know what I like? A McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese with no onions or pickles, a small fry, and a hot fudge sundae. That is my to-go fast food meal. Although I also love breakfast fast food. Egg and cheese on a biscuit, don't really care where it comes from. And if I have to do a step up from McDonald's, it would be Noodles & Company, although I also like Panera. But it's really hard to find a non-grubby Panera around here. They're all kind of gross. Friday the 17th. Oh, that's today. Baklava Day. You don't have to offer baklava to me twice because I love it. I love making it too. It's very time consuming, but it's worth it. I think I could make an entire episode just about baklava, whether it's made with walnuts or pistachios, whether it's Greek or Turkish or Lebanese, 33 layers of dough representing the 33 years of Christ, whatever. There's a lot of baklava lore. I love baklava. There's a vendor at our Sunday farmers market that makes it, and it's so good, but I really think that the baklava that I make myself is, in fact, the best. It's also homemade bread day, and I cannot say the same thing about my homemade bread, which I have never been able to master. I killed more sourdough starters during COVID than I care to admit, and I've been through two bread makers, and now I'm on my third, and I can only make one simple white bread. I am not sure why bread is such a deal killer for me in my kitchen, but it absolutely is my Achilles heel. Saturday, which is tomorrow, is National Vichyssoise Day, which is leek and potato soup, which is served chilled. And look, I'm gonna be real with you. I am not a fan of cold soup. For me, cold soup is a milkshake. Sunday is Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day, and that means a Coke or a Mango Pepsi, which, by the way, is impossible to find for some reason. All the Pepsi distribution websites say it should be everywhere, but you know what? It is not everywhere. There is one Walmart up here in Northern Virginia that gets maybe 4 packs a week, and that's 4 12-packs. And there's a Publix about 35 miles away near Alex's house that seems to get another 4 12-packs a week, and that's it. What is up with that? And finally, on Monday the 20th, it's National Peanut Butter Fudge Day, and I have my grandmother Budlong to her peanut butter fudge that my recently departed Uncle Pete loved so much. And since it took me so long to get this thing recorded, I'm going to add in a few more food holidays to get us to Thanksgiving. Monday is also Beaujolais Nouveau Day, and actually, no, it's not, because Beaujolais Nouveau Day is always the third Thursday of November, and it's not a specific date. So that calendar is wrong. Plus, you know what? People don't even love that wine anymore. I mean, I see that there are some vineyards that are growing other grapes, trying to make a comeback after putting all of their grape eggs in one bottle. But I remember back in the 90s when I worked at the restaurant where Patrick was a sous chef and I was a cocktail waitress. And it was a huge deal when the Beaujolais Nouveau was released, but I never really see events around it anymore. But as you know, I don't drink wine, so I don't really care about it anyway. Tuesday, the 21st of November, is Gingerbread Day, and let me give you a little pro tip. Both Betty Crocker and Pillsbury make a really good gingerbread mix out of a box. Like, seriously, I would not steer you wrong on this if I thought that making it from scratch was better from the mix. I prefer the Betty Crocker. I think it is darker and richer and more gingerbready. It is just a little quick bread. I make it in an 8x8 cake pan, which is square, and then top it with either vanilla ice cream, ooh, or frozen custard, or whipped cream. Boom. It is a dessert or it's breakfast. You can also bake it out in a jelly roll pan and then roll it up with some nice cream cheese filling and have a pumpkin roll, although I will be honest that it is much easier just to buy the pumpkin roll from Wegmans, which is absolutely delicious. Wednesday is cashew day. I'm a big fan of cashews, but I don't tend to use them much for baking because they're very soft. But did you know that cashews have a toxic husk around them and that people who pick and peel those cashews end up with terrible sores and burns on their arms and hands? I know that folks often point first to cows and cow's milk as being evil and bad for the environment, and then almonds and almond milk as being bad for the environment because of how much water they use. But now cashews too. Like, nothing is good for the environment, people. The key is moderation and not supporting an exploitative system that harms people. We rarely do good when we eschew one problem for another problem. We just make another problem. Thursday, the 23rd, is Thanksgiving, and I hope that you have a place to go where you're loved and cherished, and if you don't want to go anywhere, that's okay too. I hope that if you have people over, that everyone brings the side dish they were supposed to bring and that folks don't get creative and bring something awful. I hope that if you have things you're thankful for, you shout them out. And if you don't, I hope that things change and that this time next year you have a list as long as my arm of things you're grateful for. There's no one way to celebrate holidays, but I hope that you're doing it your way. If you need me to write you an excuse to get out of something that you don't want to do, you let me know. I write a great letter. It's also espresso day, and I like a shot of espresso in a frozen custard milkshake. And when I want coffee at home, Ben makes me an espresso with milk, which I think is actually an Americano. He uses an AeroPress, and it makes the smoothest coffee I've ever had in my life. It's also Eat a Cranberry Day, and I totally love cranberry orange quick bread. I think I have a recipe for a bread that Jen Goldbeck recipe. And I also love cranberry relish with my turkey and mashed potatoes and sweet potato casserole for Thanksgiving. Okay, my friends, I'm going to wrap this up and hope that you have a stress-free week of low-stakes work until Wednesday, that if you're traveling, you somehow manage to miss all the traffic on the way and the way back, and that you remember to take your Tupperware with you so you can bring home some leftovers. I hope that everywhere you go, you get your favorite snacks and drinks, and don't set your house on fire trying to deep fry a turkey in your garage. Remember that a lot of Thanksgiving food is bad for your pets, especially the oil from deep frying a turkey. Ask me how I know this. And remember that it's okay to feel like you don't have anything to be thankful or grateful for this week. Mary Oliver also said, "It's a serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world." I'm grateful and thankful for you. See you next week.